Our sermon text this morning is taken from Mark chapter 11, verse 3. And if anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" say to them, "The Lord has need of it." Our sermon text is taken from Mark's gospel, and it's from what is known as the triumphal entry, when Jesus comes into Jerusalem to what we know as today, what we celebrate today, Palm Sunday. Jesus' purpose in riding into Jerusalem was to make public his claim to be the Messiah, the King of Israel, and fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Matthew says that the king coming in on a foal of a donkey was an exact fulfillment of what was written 500 years before in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It reads, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So here we have Jesus riding into his capital city as a conquering king, and he's hailed by the people as such. To get a better understanding of our sermon text, let's read it in its context. We'll be reading Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. "Now when they drew near Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" say, "The Lord has need of it." And immediately he will send it here." So they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." You know, many stories, many of the stories in the Bible, I don't know if you do this, but one of the things I do is I often put myself in the role of one of the characters in that story. One of them is, at one time, I was like Peter. After the confrontation at the Garden of Gethsemane, when at one time, I failed to pronounce my allegiance to Jesus. Maybe you've done that as well. Or maybe I'm like one of the types of seed that were planted. Depending on the season that I was in, the time of my life, I could have been the seed that fell by the wayside, or on stony places, or among the thorns, or by the grace of God, on good ground. Or maybe in the story of the Good Samaritan, we may sometimes act like the priest or the Levite who passed by the man lying on the road half dead. Or maybe on some days, we are that Good Samaritan who showed mercy and compassion and love, and we help that man. Or maybe there are even days when we feel like we are that beaten man lying on the road. My point is, if it's in the Bible, there's a reason. There's something we can learn from it. Whether it's a parable, whether it's a teaching, or a real story, we can learn from it. And the triumphal entry is no different. We look at this story and we can ask ourselves, who are we? Who are we in this story that we just read? Do we do as commanded by God, like the two disciples who were told to go into town? And they did. They went. Are we the owner of the donkey And we obeyed as Jesus had requested. And we let the animal go freely. Or maybe we were the people on the roadside, spreading our clothes or cutting down palms, there to watch the procession of the Christ King. Or maybe we're just there praising Him with hosannas. Who are we in this story? Today I'd like to look at a role that maybe we've overlooked. Our sermon text says, the Lord has need of it. I'd like to say, not only do we have need of the Lord, but the Lord has need for you. The Lord has need for you. Just like He had need for this colt, this little donkey in our story. Think about this for a minute. Jesus is God, and He could have done this any way He chose. But He chooses to use the little donkey. It is no different today when He chooses to use the likes of you and me. Matthew 28 verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The Lord has need of you. He could have assigned this task to angels, but He chooses to work through human instruments. Like that donkey, like that colt. We are His tools. I'd like to mention a few important facts about that little donkey. I think there's some helpful information in this story, and I'd like to bring it to our attention. We don't want to miss it. Today we're going to study three applications, three takeaways from our story. Easy to remember. And if you're familiar with my teachings, I like to make it simple. I need to make it simple. We're going to do three applications, and they all begin with the same letter. Today they're going to be the letter R. You know, we don't know much about that donkey that Jesus rode that day. But the Bible does reveal a few facts about that donkey, and I'd like to point them out. In order to be used by Jesus, that donkey, like us, like you and me, had to go through a process. A process of being redeemed, released, and ruled. That donkey had to be redeemed. According to the Word of God, just like us, that donkey was only alive and available to the Lord because it had been redeemed by the blood of a lamb. You may not know this, but back in the Old Testament days, and we'll read this from Exodus 13:13, it says, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. It had to be done. The same could be said for us today. We need to be redeemed. We need to be redeemed because in our natural state, Ephesians 2:1 tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. In our natural state, Romans 8:7 tells us that we are God's enemies. In our natural state, Ephesians 2:3 tells us that we are given over to the lusts of the flesh. In our natural state, John 3:18 tells us that we are under the condemnation of God. And in our natural state, Psalm 9:17 tells us that we are fit for nothing but the fires of hell. That was our natural state. That may be how the Lord found us, but it's not the way He left us. He gave us life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He gave us life. Better yet, He gave us new life. Better yet, He gave us everlasting life. Better yet, He gave us heavenly life. And better yet, he gave it abundantly. John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And like the donkey, the blood of the Lamb redeemed us. He delivered us from our penalty of sins. Ephesians 1:7 tells us, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You see, Jesus bridged the gulf that was between us and God. Ephesians 2:13 and 14 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. That's the only reason why you and I have usefulness to the Lord today. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I ask you, have you been redeemed? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? You and I will only be useful to the Lord when we have been redeemed by his blood from the lost condition that we are in. Like us, that donkey had to be redeemed. And then, that donkey had to be released. When Jesus told his disciples about the little donkey in verse 2, he told them that they would find it tied up. And then in verse 4, they were to untie the donkey and bring it to Jesus, which is what they did. That little donkey was bound and it needed to be set free before the Lord could use it. When Jesus found us, we were just like that little donkey. Before you and I could be of any use to him, the chains of our sins must be broken and we must be set free. I remind you, I don't care who you are, I don't care who you think you are, but you were born into this world and chained to sin. Every one of us. Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3. You once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. In that condition, we are useless to the Lord. We cannot serve him. We cannot live for him. We cannot bring glory to his name. We are useless in that bound up, tied down condition. Just like that donkey, we need to be set free. We need to be released. He delivers us from the bondage of our sins. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that Jesus makes us a new creature. 2 Corinthians 4:17 tells us that he moves in and he takes up residence in our bodies. John 8:36 tells us that he gives us freedom from sin. I don't know if the Lord has ever released you from anything, but I know that if he has, you need to praise him for that. I also know that if your life has never changed, you need to be saved. It doesn't matter if you're a church member, come to church every Sunday, if you know him, And if you've given your life to Him, there will be evidence of a changed life. After being given over to Jesus, that donkey was better off than it was when it left. When it left, it was broken. It was untried. And after accepting Jesus, it was ready for the saddle. That's just what Jesus Christ does for us. He takes what we give Him as we are. And when He gives it back, it is far off, much more better than when He got it. Amen. Give Him your acorn, and He will give you back a mighty oak. Amen. You want biblical proof? Give Him an Abram, a lost pagan, and He will give you back Abraham, a mighty man of faith. Give Him your Jacob, a schemer and a trickster, and He will give you back an Israel, a prince of God. Give Him your Saul of Taurus, a mean, cruel man, and He will give you back a Paul, a mighty apostle of God. Give Him your Simon, a weak, indecisive man, and He will give you back a Peter, a rock for Jesus. That's what He does. You give Him your broken, sin-scarred life, and He'll give you back a new start. He'll give you back a new life, and He'll give you back a home in heaven. Amen. Yeah, the donkey had to be redeemed, and the donkey had to be released. There was one more thing to be complete. The donkey had to be ruled. Someone had to take charge over that donkey. Verse 2 tells us that the donkey had never been sat on, never broken to ride. It was a wild animal. The little wild donkey needed a master. It was wild. It wanted to do its own thing. And yet it submitted itself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it yielded to His control. The donkey wasn't frightened or distracted by the crowds or by the noise or the waving of the palms. It simply surrendered itself to the Lord. Psalm 8, verses 6 and 8 tells us that He has dominion over this creation. The little donkey surrendered to the Lord's sovereignty and yielded to His authority, the creator of this world. And that, my friends, is what He expects of all of us. He's looking for total submission. He's looking for total surrender for us, from our lives, to be living sacrifices to God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I have a news alert for all of us. And you probably know this. Some people have a problem with authority. It's true. There are folks who have a hard time with the idea of someone having authority over them. Whether it's their parents at home, whether it's your boss at work, whether it's your principal at school, even the police who protect them, whatever it is, they just have a hard time with authority. The fact is, there is always someone over us. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. See, at the end of the day, folks, our first and final authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. When He redeemed us from our sins, He purchased us unto Himself. When we are submitted to His Lordship in our lives, then we will have no trouble submitting to other areas in our life. But we need Jesus first. James 4:7, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, the word submit means to accept or to yield to a superior force or to the authority or the will of another person. In other words, it means to surrender. We need to know and we need to understand that man is separated from a holy God because of sin, and there must be reconciliation. The good news is that God has made a provision for man to be reconciled. And that provision is found in a once and for all sacrifice by Jesus Christ on the cross for us. Submitting, surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus is an essential component of biblical salvation. Let Him rule your life, not the world, not you. Let God, let Jesus, let the Holy Spirit rule in your life. Amen. Not your selfishness, not your pride. Jesus. Let Jesus rule your life. Who is your master today? Is it you? Is it you? Or is it Jesus? Can you honestly say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? You know, one of the most amazing statements found in the Bible is found right in our sermon text today. The Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of it. When did God ever need anything? He was rich, and yet He made Himself poor so that those who believe on Him might enjoy His riches. The Lord could save sinners and accomplish His work on earth just fine without us. And yet He chooses to use us. He chooses to use you and me for His glory. When we are like that donkey, when we are like that little donkey, when we are redeemed, when we are released, when we are ruled, then and only then can He use us too. Being a little donkey in the big story of life, it's not so bad when Jesus is your master. Look at what that donkey did. He got to carry the King of Glory into Jerusalem. That is a pretty cool thing. The Lord used him, that little donkey, as His vehicle to give glory to His name. That's exactly what He wants to do with you and me. The same thing. Yield to Him. Submit to Him. And let Him rule as He sees fit. If the Lord has spoken to you on any level through this message, you need to respond to Him. You know who you are. You feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart. It's not a coincidence that you're here. It's not a coincidence that you're hearing this message. It's not a coincidence that you feel this way. every single one of us. There are some here today who need to be redeemed. You need to come to Jesus. There are some here who need to be released. Sins and the flesh hold you captive, got you tied up. Come to Jesus. Let Him release you. And then there are some here that need to be ruled. You need to set aside your pride, your ego, your desire to do things your way, and you need to submit to the Lordship of Jesus in your life. If Jesus has spoken to you on any level, you need to hear Him. And you need to go to Him today. Will you do that now? Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank You for Your Son Jesus. We thank You for that day when, knowing what was ahead, the pain and the suffering on the cross, knowing what was ahead, Lord God, He followed the path that You laid out for Him, dying on the cross for us, so that we could come to You clean, forgiven, because of Your grace. Lord, I pray for all of us who are here in different places in our life, different places in our walk, different places in knowing You. And I pray, Lord God, to be redeemed, to be released, to be ruled wherever we are, Lord God. I pray that we take that extra step and we go to You and we call upon You and we thank You and we praise You and we listen to You and we do as You please, because, Lord God, we know that You have a need for us. So we lift up this to You, Lord God, and we thank You for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.